Earlier this month, something momentous happened here. It wasn't a birthday, it wasn't an anniversary, and it had nothing to do with the Pens, the Pirates, or the Steelers. On November the 5th, the East End Cooperative Ministries Men's Shelter moved from our lower level to their new home in the community house further up Highland Avenue. For the first time in 3 decades, full access to the Wayfarers Chapel, the small dining room and kitchen, and several lower level offices has now been returned to our church. And we knew this day was coming. We had known about this for quite some time. And as staff and as officers of this church, we've literally been praying for months, Lord, how should we respond to this momentous change? So today's service is another step towards seeking to discern God's will together. Throughout this time of worship, I will share with you some of the ideas and the concepts that the session has been discussing for quite some time, so that we can pray for wisdom and guidance and vision as we seek to serve God as stewards of this building and of this Presbyterian ministry. But first, some history. This cathedral is the latest in a series of church buildings built on this property going back to 1819. The architect, Ralph Adams Cram, intentionally created a Gothic masterpiece that was very similar to European cathedrals. There are worship spaces built around a center courtyard within functional hallways to funnel people to classrooms and to meetings. This building was completed in 1935, but the church ministry today, frankly, is quite different from what church ministry was 80 years ago. So 3 years ago, this congregation in session went through a long series of strategic thinking, naming ministry goals of radical hospitality, pursuing social justice, providing spiritual growth for all ages, and mission service here in the community and around the world. 2 years ago, we asked an architectural firm to help us revision perhaps our first floor, but honestly, we didn't like any of the answers they gave us. And so 1 year ago, a group of people, including 3 architects within our own congregation, became a task force that looked at the entire building in light of these ministry goals. And they began sketching out concepts for how we might renovate our space for present needs, but also for future needs. I want to share some of their thoughts today and invite your input. Think about the doors of our church. There are entries to East Liberty Presbyterian Church literally for 4 square blocks. But routinely, we ask almost everyone who comes to our church to enter through 1 set of doors, the Highland Avenue entrance. Now, as you all know, parking in East Liberty has changed in the past few years. And for the foreseeable future, parking simply won't be available on Highland, but instead will be available on Whitfield, Baum, and Center behind us. And so one idea is to create a new entrance off of Whitfield Street, a second place where we can, as appropriate, open our doors to guests, to worshipers, and to friends. To do that would require a new lobby, and we'd want to make sure it's fully accessible to all who enter. But that, plus perhaps some glass doors or new lighting for the exterior doors, will help us honor our goal of radical hospitality. So I invite you now to pause and to pray for the hundreds of people who enter our building every week and consider how God may be leading us to do a better job of welcoming them into this, the Lord's house. Let us pray first in silence. And then join me in the litany as printed in the bulletin. Give thanks to the Lord who is good. O Lord, no building can contain your glory or display all the wonders of your love. May all that is done here meet with your approval, so that this church may stand as a sign of your Spirit at work in the world and as a witness to our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Our first scripture lesson this morning comes from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 65, verses 17 and 18, 24 and 25. Hear and receive the word of the Lord. For I am about to create new heavens and a new earth. The former things shall not be remembered or come to mind. But be glad and rejoice forever in what I am creating. For I am about to create Jerusalem as a joy and its people as a delight. Before they call, I will answer. While they are yet speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together. The lion shall eat straw like the ox. But the serpent, its food shall be dust. They shall not hurt or destroy on all my holy mountain, says the Lord. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
A reading from the Gospel of Luke. A dispute also rose among them as to which of them was to be regarded as the greatest. But Jesus said to them, "The kings of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those in authority over them are called benefactors. But not so with you. Rather, the greatest among you must become like the youngest, and the leader like one who serves. For who is greater, the one who is at the table or the one who serves? Is it not the one at the table? But I am among you as one who serves." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Now, the two scriptures you've just heard lift up two important ideas. First, the prophet Isaiah reminds us that God knows our needs before we ask. Isaiah 65, verse 24 says, "Before they call, I will answer. While they are yet speaking, I will hear." We trust that God is anxious to lead us forward as a church. And the reading from Luke 22 tells us that the greatest among you must become like a servant, like the youngest. For Christ, our model, is among us as one who serves. So now that the men's shelter, food bank, and soup kitchen have left our premises, whom is God leading us to serve now? Well, this grand building doesn't allow for some types of ministry programs. For example, we don't have the right space to house a program on car repair, horticulture, or glass blowing. But to do nothing would be bad stewardship of the gifts God has given us. Furniture gets old and needs to be replaced. Over time, lighting and sound systems and ventilation need to be upgraded. God has given this opportunity for us to look with fresh eyes at our lower level, but also honestly at the entire building. The Architectural Task Force suggests that there are two guiding principles for us. First, whatever we might consider, it should ideally involve minimal intervention and flexible space usage. There are frankly too many programs and groups who use our church for us to have a lot of rooms designated for only one use. We need spaces that can be set up for a church Bible study, a committee meeting, and a community planning session, sometimes all on the same day. As big as we are, we have lots of places that can hold 10 to 15 people, but we actually have relatively few places that can hold 20 to 40 people, and only a couple spots in the entire building that can comfortably hold 50 to 100. So one idea. The small dining room on the lower level could be renovated with new lighting, chairs, and AV equipment, so that one space could be used for session and deacon meetings, possibly for journey worship, for youth group who are staying here and meeting here for retreats, for Hope Academy recitals, and for dramas. Flexible space usage is important so that we can be responsive to to the changing ministries in and around our church. But second principle is that we shouldn't try to reinvent the wheel or duplicate what is already being done well by others around us. We should concentrate on our particular strengths. Now, I'm proud to say that we do a very good job with our youth program. Because of the excellent work of Heather and Sarah and Will and Anthony and the youth and young adult team, we reach out to children and kids within our church and in our neighborhood through our Sunday school and confirmation classes, through Club 116 and our overall youth program. And we do a good job with intergenerational events like rally days and church family retreats. And honestly, we do an exceptional job through our Hope Academy of Music and the Arts. Over 300 children take part in what our church hosts, with a target goal of 50% always coming from underserved populations. You and I know that not every kid can be a star scholar or athlete, but many can shine as singers or dancers or actors if they are loved and cared for and mentored while they're young. So our hope is to renovate spaces so that all of these programs can thrive in our building. We're also planning to start our own ELPC after-school tutoring program, which will link the resources of our church family, the families of Hope Academy, the people in our neighborhood, so that the love of Christ, the educational offerings of this church, and our ministry goal of serving all in need will become better integrated and fully realized in this house. So I want to invite Heather to come forward, and she's going to lead us now in a time of prayer for our children, for our youth, and for our families.
Let us pray. Loving God, you call us, young and old, to be part of your church. You inspire us to come together to worship and serve, to fellowship and learn. We give you thanks that ELPC is truly an intergenerational community. We thank you that children and youth from within the walls of this worshiping community and throughout East Liberty and beyond are such a vibrant part of our life together. We praise you for the many opportunities to engage the gifts of our youngest in our midst, for vacation church school and Christmas pageants, for Club 116 and confirmation classes, for Sunday school for children and adults of all ages, for youth service projects and mission trips, for the willingness of teenagers to lead in worship as ushers and liturgists and acolytes and crucifers and sound technicians. We give you thanks for Hope Academy and for all who come to ELPC to explore the gifts that you have given, to learn a new instrument, to learn confidence, to learn teamwork, to learn hope. We pray that you will grant us wisdom as we seek to fully live into your call to nurture and welcome the gifts of all children and youth as a part of the larger life of this church. Open our eyes that we might see new needs in our midst. Open our ears that we might hear your call to expand existing ministries or begin new ones. Equip us and encourage us for the work to which you are calling us. Help us to embrace all, that we might learn from those who are younger than us, to be challenged by their hopes and questions, and to grow as we tend to their growth. And we pray for your children, for infants about to be baptized today, for students who have heard your word through children in worship in classrooms, who have shared a cup of juice and some goldfish already, for youth who helped carry the meal downstairs as we anticipate our Thanksgiving luncheon, for Hope Academy students who enjoyed an afternoon with Yusei Barnwell and the community sing last night. We pray for the youth who currently come through the doors of this church each week, And for those, you might be inviting us to invite here, to be nurtured and inspired, to be equipped to serve you, and to hear a message of your steadfast and abiding love. Bless all of your children, wherever they may be. Strengthen them to grow in faith and hope and love, today and always.
When there are conversations about this building, do you know what routinely keeps being mentioned to me? The restrooms. Now, we have a lot of them, but frankly, none of them are very good, nor are they accessible enough. Deciding to fix bathrooms raises other questions about sustainability and about being environmentally friendly. If we look at renovating parts of our building, shouldn't we ask questions about how to reduce our electricity and water and gas usage? When this church was built, it's true, those were not big priorities in the 1930s. But new technologies have come along since then. And as surprising as it may seem, it is possible for us to explore having ELPC actually become LEED certified, more environmentally friendly overall. Now, that would be shaped by what products we purchase, what water fixtures we use, what type of lighting we have throughout the building. But back to the restrooms. Accessibility means much more than just having special stalls in bathrooms. It means being sensitive to how people use our building, whether they can adequately see and hear wherever they are, whether they are comfortable, whether they are always safe. We can do better with our lighting and our sound systems. And actually, it may be possible to provide air conditioning in the sanctuary and in the chapel, because both of them rely on forced air heating systems whose ductwork is already in place. Now, that would help us ensure that we have a welcoming space when the seminary holds their graduation in June, when couples wish to be married in July, or when a funeral needs to occur during a Pittsburgh heat wave. But another word along with accessibility is the word aesthetics. Now, this is a beautiful building, but sometimes we have covered up the real beauty of this Gothic masterpiece. Many of you remember how for years we had a large security desk by the Highland entrance, and it served a purpose of public safety, but it wasn't very welcoming, and it hid the beauty of that foyer. Once we removed the desk, we again saw the arches and the pillars designed in that space, and we were able to create a nice waiting area by the windows. Now, these were minor changes, but with an overall positive aesthetic result. The chapel also is a wonderful spiritual space, but it's underutilized, mostly only for tzeh worship and the occasional small funeral service. The lighting and the sound in the chapel need to be upgraded, and the flooring is showing significant signs of age. So one idea is to help more people enjoy the chapel space by redoing the floor, but also by insetting a labyrinth in the floor itself. Now, that would require different seating, it's true, but it would keep the room as a spiritual space and allow it to be used for tzeh worship, classes, prayer services, and labyrinth walks 7 days a week. And lastly, the front yard project has given us the opportunity to replace energy-inefficient floodlights with new energy-efficient exterior lights. But with LED technology, we need not stop at only illuminating the bottom 20 feet of our building. We can literally illuminate the entire exterior and the steeple using LED technology that requires half the electricity that we're currently pouring into inefficient floodlights. It's an idea that would blend faith goals of good stewardship with good aesthetics. So a new question: how does the Holy Spirit change lives? Well, sometimes the Spirit moves us during important times in our life, when there's a job change, a new relationship, when we have to deal with serious medical conditions or loss. But often the Holy Spirit moves us when we least expect it, through serendipity, through a chance conversation with a friend, through bumping into someone in the hallway. One of the greatest strengths of the ministry of ELPC is how people are able to connect here with others whom they might never have known or met if it weren't for the church and its ministry and programs. We have people that gather here from different neighborhoods, different ethnicities, economic and marital status, orientation, and age. We need a building that will allow for chance encounters and informal, faithful conversations. When you enter by Highland Avenue and head either to the sanctuary or to the chapel, you travel down narrow hallways pretty much marked by closed doors. And our church nursery is hidden away, accessible only by two side hallways. So what if the Harambe room, the large room on your left when you enter at Highland, was turned back into a nursery, which is what it was 75 years ago? What if the offices on the right side of the hallway were turned into a large, bright meeting room for community groups and adult ed? What if the library and the office on the left side of the hallway were also made into reading and conversation and meeting spaces? Both of them could now provide hospitality after worship on Sunday mornings. Both could better accommodate meetings and education instead of always sending people upstairs to small classrooms on the second and third floor. But more importantly, moving the nursery to that front room now opens up two or three big rooms behind it for flexible usage. And shifting some of the education classes from the second to first floor frees up space on the upper floors for new mission programs. How about an office for job mentoring work? How about a place for homeless men and women to meet with healthcare professionals and social workers? Both those ideas are being explored right now by the mission board. How about expanding our Latino outreach? How about offering more mission retreats, spiritual retreats, youth retreats in this building? All those are being considered. People need to see the work God is doing in this place as soon as they come in this place. Putting more programs and less administration on the first floor allows everyone to see ministry in action. And more importantly, it encourages them to join in what's going on around them, to open themselves up to how the Holy Spirit is leading diverse people of faith to put what they believe into action. I invite Patrice to now lead us in a time of prayer for our ongoing ministries, our mission work, and the joys and concerns of this congregation.
Let us pray together. Gracious God, we come this morning thanking and praising you for your mercies. Mercies which are new every morning, and for your loving kindness towards us, which knows no bounds. As we enter into this time of prayer, we do so recognizing that you are a God whose attributes never change. And yet, you are a God who is ever doing a new thing in the lives of your people, the world, this community, and this church. Lord, you've said in your word that to everything there is a season. A season to break down and a season to build, a season to embrace and a season to keep from embracing. Lord God, during this season in the life of this worshiping community, we pray that we would be open to the new move of your Spirit, the opening of Community House to more justly serve those who are homeless, hungry, seeking nurture and guidance. Openness to all those who have recently moved into this community, that they would find this to be a place where all are welcome. And open to every business, that they might be successful and add to the vibrancy of our community. We pray for a spirit of discernment at ELPC, that we might have open hearts, be willing and able to hear from you, as we move to live out our mission of being a place of radical hospitality, a place where justice for all your creation is ardently pursued, and a place of refuge, spiritual nurture, and growth. A place where all might be served and come to know you as Lord, Savior, and Redeemer. Lord God, as we approach Thanksgiving, we do so gratefully, praying traveling mercies for people traveling near or far. We lift up relationships where there is division and brokenness, that they might be reunited in love. We pray for those who won't celebrate this holiday at a family table, that they might know your provision. And for those who have recently lost family members to death, that they might know your comfort. Lord God, we pray for all who are ill in body, mind, or spirit, that they might know your peace. And as we look towards the Advent season, Lord, we pray for contemplative hearts and spirits, that we might seek more fervently after you, that we might have an openness and the ability to acknowledge and accept your will for us individually as well as a worshiping community, that we might be strengthened for the journey and forever live into being the Cathedral of Hope. Our prayer is that we empty ourselves completely and surrender solely to you as Christ did, your Son and our Savior, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us as we forgive. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.